Hey, and welcome to Tomorrow. I'm your host, Joshua Topolsky. Today on the podcast, we discuss Thanos' dick, the Nobel Peace Prize, and Palm Springs. I don't want to waste 1 minute, so let's get right into it. All right, we're back. It's another Tomorrow. It's a new Tomorrow, a better Tomorrow, some might say. Ryan is shaking his head. I'm here with the fantastic and talented Ryan Houlihan.
Hi.
Today, we're not even doing a guest, just going to be me and Ryan chatting about the news because there's so much insane shit going on. And we're in a very strange situation because it's the air conditioning is broken at our office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 90 fucking degrees in New York for some reason on May 3rd, which is like, I don't know what's happening. I guess we just don't.
Yesterday was the perfect day because it was nice out, but the subway stations were still really cold. And that is such a dream.
It's not a perfect day today.
No. Subway stations are like asshole.
It's a gross ass day from hell. Anyhow, so our air conditioning is broken. So it's a little warm in here. And, you know, I'm fine right now, but there could be a point where if you hear me sobbing quietly.
It's about humidity.
It's because the humidity is making my hair so frizzy. I do have a lot of, there's a lot of huge impact in my hair from the weather out there. Do you have that problem?
My hair is like literally grows out like Brillo. So anything I can do all day, every day to prevent that is great.
Brillo. Like, with or without the kind of soaping piece of it.
Depends on if I've left leave-in conditioner in.
Brillo is like, it's steel wool plus like a soap.
Yeah, like a really harsh.
So your hair, if I rubbed your hair on something right now, I could clean
a
pan.
It's like a magic eraser.
Clean a pan with your hair right now.
Yeah.
Okay, good. If I have any really bad shit to deal with. Anyhow, all right, you know what, enough about the heat. The heat's not important.
Like, nobody listening
You're the person who's listening to this, you're not in New York right now.
All our listeners live in Alaska.
In London. They all live in London, England. And London, Ontario. It's weird, but our entire listenership is based in both Londons.
Really, some really bad SEO on our part.
Very unusual. Why did we target just places called London? Anyhow, it's been a crazy week. A lot of things have happened. The president is in bad shape. Cambridge Analytica is shut down. Mark Zuckerberg is confused about Facebook.
Has never used a social media
website. Tom Brokaw is a sex harasser. The Avengers did a war.
Spoilers.
I haven't seen
most of the Avengers are dead.
All of the Avengers are dead. They killed Iron Man, Captain America, Black Panther, Wolverine,
Superman, Bugs Bunny, Dracula.
Both Batman and Robin, and the new Robin.
And Christina Aguilera.
Yes, it was very strange. Actually, have you seen the paper photos of Christina Aguilera?
She looks
like an angel.
Delicious.
Like an angel.
Looks so
you can say
good.
That I can't, because then I'd be in a Me Too situation. But you could say whatever
you want. She looks like a confection from Willy Wonka.
I'll be honest, she's very beautiful.
She's beautiful.
And I think until I saw these paper photos, by the way, Paper Magazine has, you know, by the way, one of our old interns works there, actually, Peyton Dix, who's great and I love. But Paper Magazine, I counted on their math, they have 21 interns.
Oh, my God.
They have 21 interns and, like, four editors.
That sounds like a class action suit.
I don't know about this. And I would like to know if they're paying the interns. Anyhow, but I was in a hotel recently reading Paper Magazine because that's the only place you can get paper.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this photo spread of Christina Aguilera. You brought her up totally randomly. But it's, like, her without makeup or with, like,
she looks so
like
good.
Makeup that is meant to look like no makeup. And she looks so beautiful.
Yeah, she's definitely wearing makeup, but it's like that barefaced look. But what's cool is that like...
She has the face of an angel.
Yeah. It's cool because she spent so long covered in like real drag like aesthetic.
The thing about Christina Aguilera is she always was like, had way too much makeup on.
I don't even think there is a thing as too much makeup.
There
I think
is.
It's just a choice.
No.
It's a scale. And she likes the heavy end.
I can make a call from my opinion. One man's opinion.
Okay.
I just felt like she overdid it on the makeup.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
What does my opinion mean?
But I think she looks great now.
She looks really beautiful.
Her new song is a little bit of a snooze, but I still support her.
Oh, she's promoing something. I didn't know
she's
promoting
something.
Yeah, she has
a new song. Oh, it's a little snoozy.
I don't care about her songs. I don't give
a shit. Kanye is producing parts of her album.
So. No, not interested. Don't care.
We should talk about Kanye.
Fucking dead to me.
We should talk about Kanye.
We talk about Kanye. News. Okay, let's get into the news.
Did you watch the Kanye Charlamagne interview?
No, because I value my time in life.
I watched it, and I will tell you, it's worth watching.
Well, here's the thing. I saw the TMZ appearance, and
that was wild.
I think that broke any.
If you don't know what we're talking about,
Kanye had a meltdown started to have some kind of weird meltdown.
A meltdown within a meltdown.
It was like a meltdown on Twitter.
Meltdownception.
Where he's like, we talked about this last week, I think. Yeah. It's like he's like MAGA, he's like pro Trump and like I'm into free thought, and he's like, just like
he's like, white supremacy isn't real. By the way, I love white supremacists.
He's like saying all of so many things that are so insane and horrendous to come out of Kanye West's mouth that it's like, you're like, what is fucking going on? Like, and it definitely seemed like he was just kind of losing his shit.
And then he hooked up with Harvey Levin.
Then he went to TMZ. Well, I don't know if the Charlamagne interview's old, right? The Charlamagne the God interview?
It's older, but it was just published. Like, it's pre the TMZ thing.
Right. So then he did that, and he has this TMZ appearance. Let's talk about the interview, because I haven't seen it, but I'm curious.
It's fascinating. He, in it, says some of the most reflective, insightful things, like truly like a memoir I would read, like really amazing thoughts about like his place in culture. Even though I do think he's a narcissist or like at least an egoist, he has some really fascinating thoughts about like what Obama meant and what he means as like an opposite of Obama, and a lot of like really interesting stuff that I thought was fascinating. But he chases it with complete hypocrisy, complete nonsense, where he talks about like we need to deal with the fact that there are people in this world who are suffering, and like we need to raise them up, and it's on us to like he wants Yeezy to be a company that can provide clothes sort of like Tom's but for relief situations, and also like the fashions can be super accessible but not compromise on quality. Like he really wants to be democratizing. And then in the same breath, he says stuff like billionaires are cool, I don't believe in socialism. Like, it's this weird dichotomy. And it's weird because he clearly needs therapy. Even just talking about his wife or his family, he desperately needs therapy. And when he was asked if he's gone to therapy, he said, I just talk to people I know and they give me feedback. I'll keep them on the phone for 45 minutes. And that's really therapy to me. And it's sort of like living in public, confessing your deepest reflections and thoughts about society to strangers or like at least mutuals with your heart on your sleeve, but also being too narcissistic to like actually go to therapy, to be too narcissistic to humbly say like I could be wrong. Yeah. I don't know things.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he doesn't he wants freedom of thought. He wants freedom of information. He's talking about how he craves information. He craves knowledge. In the same breath, he's like, I don't like to read. I don't want like someone telling me what to think. Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense,
but
Kanye.
That's just ignorant. I mean, that's just an ignorant, like you can't be like, I'm telling you all the answers and how to think and feel and how you should think and feel and up all on this fucking free thought tip and not like actually have access to the information you need to like have free thought. You can't have free thought without information. Like
no.
you can think all sorts of shit, but it's like you're not really like
you're not free. You're living in a box you made.
Yeah, like having being able to know the facts and then decide your like path through those facts is like how real free thought works. But like you can't just be like I think. It's like you can't say Trump is cool and I'm recontextualizing Make America Great Again if you can't acknowledge what
to
Trump
him,
is.
It's not real. To him, he's like, he said in the interview, I don't know any of the facts. I don't know his policies, but I had a gut feeling that I liked him.
Yeah, that's not real.
That's crazy.
That's stupid. That's ignorant. I mean, and like the reality is like, so then, I mean, you couple that with the TMZ thing, which is like.
He went to TMZ and he said that slavery was a choice. 400 years of slavery sounds like a choice. And like one of the black staffers stood up to him,
oh my God.
I'm like, why do you work at TMZ, dude? You know, like where you work, right?
Well.
But, like, he stood up to him and he was like, hey, fuck you. Like, you don't realize how this affects real people.
No,
he had no response.
Well, he was, like, started apologizing, apparently. Yeah. There's, like, clips of him, like, going, like, look, I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry,
but,
bro.
It's like, look, here's the reality. Kanye, first off, it's like, the people around him need to, I really think he's having, like, I don't think this is, a lot of people are like, this is a record promotion. Like, he's just promoting his new album. And it's like, maybe it's, started that way.
He had an opioid addiction because he got bad plastic surgery.
He was saying about how he was like, oh, dude, on the TMZ interview, he's like addressing, he's like talking to Harvey Levin. And then like he breaks from that conversation, turns around to the entire staff of TMZ, which is a big fucking room of people.
Yeah, we've all seen
and starts screaming at people there about how he was on opioids. He was addicted to opioids because he got liposuction because TMZ and the public made him feel like he was putting on weight or whatever. And it's like, first off, like, you could just go on a diet. Like, you don't have to get lipo. Like, it's not like, I'm putting on weight, I got to get liposuction.
But he doesn't recognize that his reality with Kim and that family isn't reality for other people. Yeah, like, liposuction's not the next step.
I'm sure they were like, oh, Kanye, just get liposuction.
I believe they have a recovery suite in their home for surgery. Like, they get so many surgeries, it makes sense to just make a recovery suite in your home. To live in that reality and then not understand that, like, ask a nutritionist.
Right. He's screaming at the staff about his liposuction, which is like, dude, this is like not a normal problem that you're describing. And like, it does suck that you had an opioid addiction, but also probably preventable if you were not like, if your life wasn't a reality show.
But I think he really is like an avatar for what a lot of people are doing with social media, which is like being a micro celebrity. Like, I have 4,000 followers on Instagram and I post like my looks and I post my feelings and my reactions to things. But that makes you feel like it makes you feel special, and you get rewarded for that kind of sharing, but that kind of sharing isn't productive, like therapy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not real.
It's like, I think the thing is, you know, there is an enormous amount of what's the right way to think of it? Talking without thinking, just like blasting some shit out there and being like, hey, here's my thought. You know, it's like, it's actually like Chance was like, he responded when Kanye was like first recognized, like, black people don't have to be Democrats. And it's like, okay, totally valid. But what you're saying is you're basically endorsing what Kanye is saying in this.
He's
like,
not looking at the context.
In this momentary way. And then the next day he's like, actually, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Like, because he basically is endorsing really, really like disturbing and negative behavior by going like, oh yeah, like quit, like let him do his thing. And it's like, it's not, I think like the thing about like somebody like Kanye is he occupies a very different, because he is a black man in America and he has achieved such a mass amount of success, like it or not. But this has always been.
And extraordinary talented. And yeah. I know people constantly say it, but he is an extraordinary talent.
I mean, he has been one of the most outspoken, I mean, truly, like, has made some what I consider to be protest music about race in America and racism and the experience of being a black man in America. And, like, you know, you go back and listen to stuff like on Yeezus, like New Slaves and shit. Like, it's, like, really powerful. It's fucking powerful music about, like, his experience in the world. And to think about that compared to what he's saying now and the people he's endorsing and the way he's talking. And, like, to look at the legion of fans who are impacted by and affected by the things he's saying, it seems so fucking crazy to me. It seems so, it's so sad. It's so sad. Like, honestly, more than anything, it's like he's destroying his legacy, first off. I really think whatever he's doing now is destroying what he has done. But it also is, like, these fucking alt-right motherfuckers and Donald Trump are like embracing Kanye, who is like such a huge celebrity, who has been such a loud voice representing like a completely different place, representing a completely different position, both like culturally and sort of like artistically. And it's like now it's being fucking co-opted by these fucking red pill Gamergate MAGA hat wearing motherfuckers who suck shit so bad, you know? And it's like the whole thing is just like a gross mess.
Well, I think like in the Charlamagne interview, he talks about how he comes to these conclusions that I think are remarkable to come to without outside information. He talks about how artists and business people business people make more money than artists, even though they're more common. You can find business people to work at a label, and it's shocking that that replaceable skill It makes more money than an artist does. And he talks about how he went into fashion because he wanted to own the factories. He wanted to own his own brand and to create generational wealth and to create the ability to be a creative and not have an album with Paul McCartney turn into a single song for Rihanna. Right. Have that be, that was my vision. I put it out. If you don't like it, tell me. But, like, I want control. And as a black person and as an artist, he's never been able to get that. And he comes to these conclusions that are remarkable and insightful. And all I can think is, how much farther could his brain go or his intelligence go or his insights go if he fucking read a book? Like, the fact that...
Well, it's funny you should mention that. We have a great reading list on theoutline.com.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, we asked, many, many very smart people, what would you tell Kanye to read? And we created a reading list for him. And I agree with you. Like, he should fucking read some books.
But he doesn't even know Trump's policies, but he sees the rhetoric of success and individualism and like all of that stuff. And he's like, there's value there. And nobody's saying there isn't value there. They're saying it's hollow and hypocritical and Trump is a fascist. That's what they're saying. Nobody's saying that, like, every American should be successful. And, you know, like, we all agree with that. But it's not like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He doesn't understand how Trump's policies are not actually leading to that, like, that it's a lie.
But it's like,
because he's not looking at anything. Buying, he's loading the campaign site.
He's buying the public persona, which is like, listen, a lot of people did, but like, you just, I mean, I'm sorry, it just is so far away from like Kanye's, his positions historically and the positions of I would say, the people around him and in the community of whether it's fashion or rap or just art in general. I don't feel the sentiment that his sentiment that he's sharing. Now, he could call himself a free thinker all he wants, and he may be going against the grain, but going against the grain doesn't mean anything.
No, it's just easy because something's it's different easy to say doesn't the opposite. Make it special.
It's easy to be contrarian.
Yeah.
It's easy to say the opposite of what everybody else is saying. It's easy to be like, oh, you think Trump's bad? Well, actually, I think Trump's pretty cool. Like, yeah, you can get other people's skin doing that. Like, if your goal is to just agitate, like, congratulations, but people aren't going to fucking...
But so is a murder.
But they're also not going
to... That's very agitating.
They're not going to pay attention to what you say very much if you keep doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like to me, it feels like Kanye had something to say, and now Kanye has nothing to say.
Yeah.
Like, what I hear him saying is nothing. It's like, just, one, it looks and feels like the mind of a person who's ill and needs help. And two, if it's not that, it's simply... provocative for the sake of being provocative with no real understanding or meaning behind it, which is either way, it's like fucking sad and disappointing. All right, we should move on from Kanye. We've talked a lot about Kanye.
Well, we should talk about another one of our common topics.
Oh my God.
We have to talk about Facebook.
Yeah.
Because as you said, Zuckerberg made it clear he does not know how Facebook works.
Yeah, I think the thing is, like, we talked about this a while ago. We had a piece where, you know, Zuckerberg was like, or I think maybe I quoted... Maybe I reran a short thing, which is a quote from him, and it was like, he's like, well, I don't want to be the guy, who has to go make the decision about what happens on my service. You know, I shouldn't be the person making that decision. It's like, well, actually, you're kind of in charge of it, and you, like, there are leaders for reasons. Like, we need them to, like, help us. I mean, Trump's a great example. You know, like, good leaders can be really incredible for the people that they lead, and bad leaders can be really a corruptive element, you know, and leaders who avoid making decisions or act like those decisions aren't theirs to make are often really dangerous.
I realize I'm saying this to a CEO,
yeah,
but
yes.
Not everybody should be the CEO. Not
no.
Everybody who founds a company needs to that
I'm
position.
I'm thinking about stepping away from the whole thing, but it's real pain
hard,
in the ass. It sucks.
And it's not what your talent to create something or being a visionary, those don't go hand in hand.
I mean, the idea that there's a logical path from Mark Zuckerberg creating FaceMash where you could, like, rate girls to being the CEO of a company where 2 billion people interact with each other every day is, like, a not very good walk, logically speaking. It's like, I don't know that he has any of the truly, like, important qualities necessary.
I also think, like, you have to like it. He has to like getting so deep into his product that he understands what's going on in developing countries with Facebook's free services.
Yeah, it's like you're good. Oh, it's like you're good at making products that people love to use. Like, well, okay, that's definitely a talent.
Yeah,
but like that doesn't
Johnny Ive is very talented.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean
he be
like
the CEO of Apple.
Right, doesn't mean you should be making the decisions about all of what that product does. You know, and I think there's a couple things you mentioned, like, you know, they're giving free services to people in developing countries, which has been truly kind of a debacle, which they've ceased to do in many places quietly, which we wrote about. But there's also this you know, we wrote this article about, you know, that he doesn't know how it works. And there's been a couple of articles like people were like, I think the Atlantic kind of thing is like, he doesn't understand journalism. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of shit that I would imagine Mark Zuckerberg doesn't understand. Like, I don't pretend to be really good at code, mm-hmm. right? Or like necessarily like, you know, when I think my strength is like building a product like Facebook, I mean, I wouldn't build a product like Facebook, I guess, let's put it that way. But like, you know, you got to know your strengths and your weaknesses. And I think the idea that you have to be, that for Mark Zuckerberg, he's going to be or has to be aware of and in all this stuff, it's like, that's part of the job. And if you can't do that and you can't be good at it, you know, there is definitely a question about his fitness to lead the entire business, especially when he says stuff that's like, you know, there's this, we quote a Wired article where he says, I didn't understand all the details on things like how we were using external data on our ad system. And he said, I'm going to sit down with this team and learn exactly how all of this stuff I didn't know. And it's like, look, your entire fucking business is predicated on ads. It's your whole business. Everything you do in the business is designed to increase attention and time spent on ads. This is Facebook, you know? You're telling me you don't know how you're using data in that system? That's either a fucking lie or really scary. You know that Mark Zuckerberg wouldn't know? Like, I'll be honest with you. No, of course, we're not Facebook, but I know exactly how the ads work here. Mm-hmm. I know exactly how we use data.
But it's the core of your business. Like, that's the core of his business. Like, right. It's insane.
Mm. Mm.
But don't you think there's something about business, which I think is true about a couple other things, and this ties into the whole Michelle Wolf White House Correspondence Center thing,
yeah.
where I think like business, teaching kids or parenting, comedy, there are things that people, I think, like Nora Ephron had that quote in When Harry Met Sally that she said regularly, which is, everyone thinks they're funny and everyone thinks they have good taste, but they can't possibly all be funny and have good taste.
That's correct.
And I think everyone thinks that they're a genius about comedy. They know what's funny and why it's funny. Everyone thinks they can be a business person because they had an idea. Everyone thinks that they know the best way to parent a kid. And we all need to be honest and say, those are really hard fucking things to do. They're universal things, but we need to be honest and say, a la Kanye needing to be honest, I don't know what I'm doing with this. I have no experience.
Right.
I haven't learned this. I haven't practiced it. I'm not a comedian. So maybe if I'm Laura Ingraham, I can just shut the fuck up about what's funny and what's not funny.
No,
because comedy is hard, and I've been doing it for a decade, and I wouldn't presume to say something like that.
Nothing funny about that statement, folks.
but
you know,
it makes me mad. It's the same thing with business. Not everybody's a business person.
I agree with you. Look, but, you know, the thing is, Zuckerberg has certainly found his way into the situation through, you know, very real work. You know, it's not like he just was handed the keys to Facebook.
No, nobody's saying he's not.
He held on to that
incredible thing.
I just think it's interesting to see how I think a lot of it is him sort of just pretending. Him being like playing the ignorant, like, oh, well, I didn't really realize it. No, I'm so sorry, guys.
We make
like,
bombs? I just thought I was running Grumman.
Yeah, it's right here. Exactly. He's like, I thought we were just doing plane parts. We're also making bombs. Like,
I
sat down with the teams and I realized, well, okay, I guess we are making the weapons that kill children. It had not occurred to me.
Wild.
But, you know, I'm looking into it. I do think a lot of it is like, oh, you fucking know, man.
Yeah.
You know how it works, but you're playing dumb. But it's like one way or the other, either you're lying or you don't know.
Either
one of those situations is really bad. And like, you know, I don't want to belabor Facebook because we've talked about it a lot recently.
Yeah.
Except to say that, you know, I think increasingly, I mean, what I think about a lot and what I've been talking about a lot, I talked to Casey Johnson about this the other day, is this just the whole perverse nature of our current reality, which is like we built a system where, you know, I have to like hit a button to tell a person that I approve of a thing they said. Like, what is that thing? That's not a thing.
No.
Like, it's not what people do.
Yeah, people, you're not in conversation and people's thumbs go
there's
up.
There's no transaction that I have to do. Like when I talk to you, like when I first met you and we talked, I wasn't like, Ryan, I approve of you. I was like, I like this guy. Like, I think
if you'd have said that, I would have been like, this is a psychopath with social problems.
And you'd been like, can we hang out more? No, but like, you know, I was like, I like Ryan. I think we could work well together. He seems like a good guy. Maybe we'll be friends.
Yeah.
Just like very subtle, frictionless thoughts. Like, not even thoughts, maybe. just like a feeling.
But it's closer to like an Instagram story than it is to a Twitter or Facebook post because there's no reaction. You just kind of absorb it.
Yeah.
It's just there. You feel how you feel.
Exactly.
You know who saw it.
Now,
that's
the funny thing is like
it disappears.
There are frictionless signals that you can pick up on that exist in behavior that tell you someone's likelihood, their affinity for something, for a person, a piece of content, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but the way we do it is not through a subtle, metered, slow burn kind of like, oh, is this person, oh, they keep talking to, you know, I keep talking to Ryan, maybe Ryan and I are, but it's like, not like that. It's like, oh, you are my friend. Yeah. I like what you're saying. Oh, well, you give me some other reactions. I'm sad about what you're saying. I'm mad about what you're saying. That makes me feel stressed. It's like,
yeah,
this perverse way of compartmentalizing our interactions with one another is fucking insane. And I will say this, I think we have to increasingly look at the entire system and really ask ourselves like what the system is asking from us, like what it wants from us and why we're doing it. Because I'll be honest with you, like I don't need likes to enjoy Instagram.
No.
In fact, likes give me stress.
Yeah, it gets in the way.
Like I don't want to have to like tell you I approve.
Yeah.
And I don't need to be ranked on whether you approve
like
of
points,
my
meaningless
thing.
Points.
Like it is just a game of popularity.
Yeah.
It's about like, oh, well, actually, I've got X amount of followers. So how many do you have? You know, it's like, what do you gain from that? Here's what I can tell you can gain. You can sell ads to people. You can get to some level of what is considered fame, which is really what the game is. People all want to feel famous. Like they all want to feel like they're on a fucking reality show. They want to feel like they're in the spotlight. You can't.
Why would you want that? And that's such a weird thing to me.
It's of course
fame is the worst part of performing.
But you know the numbers, right? I mean, YouTube touts these numbers. They're like 80% of kindergartners want to be YouTube stars when
that's
they grow up.
Sick.
Well, we've built a reality that is predicated on
being seen,
and being popular.
And it's okay to say you want to be seen. But for example, when you do stand up, you get feedback from the audience.
Back
people
to stand up.
But people laugh. And you know if they liked it or they didn't like it. Should that mechanism apply to every area of your social interaction? Is that healthy? Of course not.
No, but
healthy for 10 minutes.
And it absolutely does apply to so many things now. Like there are so few forums that we can be in where you are able to speak and not have your speech rated.
Yeah.
Not have your images rated. Not have your fucking, your personality, the way you are, the way you think, like, cataloged and ranked. Like that is not like YouTube is not, I get it's an incredible tool for connecting people, Facebook incredible tool for connecting, blah 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 blah. The reality is we're asking people to make these really strange transactional considerations as they spend time with one another, and they are doing it in a space that anonymizes and abstracts who they are as people and makes them into like a being that is a representation of something that they're projecting into the world, a projection of who they think they are or want to be. And so this whole system of fabrication, both from like at the level of how we interact to the level of who we are, is fucking perverse. And I mean in the truest sense of the word. It is like it is a derangement of human interaction.
Yeah.
It is not an improvement.
Yeah.
It is not. It is does not bring us
it's
somewhere.
It's making us sick.
It's making us. It is making us ill.
It's poison.
And it is a virus. I really believe this. And like there are things about social media that are really powerful and I love, but there are so many more things.
But for every Black Lives Matter, there is thousands of tweets like "kill yourself," "you're disgusting," "I'm going to kill your family."
And the moment between thought and action. And the social, the physical barriers, the kind of like personal pressure that exists in a physical space or in an environment where you actually have to like confront people doesn't exist, right? So none of the safeties are on. You know, you can say or do whatever you want.
There's no editor.
I had somebody.
We all need editors.
I had somebody email me today. They're like, "I see you blocked me on Twitter." I've had these emails before. I'll block people if they're assholes. Just if you're being a fucking dick to me. For no reason. Like, I don't need another person in my life talking to me like an asshole.
Yeah.
So I'll block people. And this guy wrote to me today and he's like, "I just realized you blocked me. And, you know, I didn't say this. I assume it was about this. I wasn't trying to be this or that. I was just speaking my mind." It's like, well, you know what, asshole? Like, being a dick to me is maybe felt good to you at the moment. But like, for me, I don't need to see it. And like the idea that it's so funny that, you know, you're like,
you're not entitled to talking to me.
Right.
And if you're going to randomly say what you want to say to a random stranger, and it's going to, sometimes it'll be misinterpreted. Yeah, sometimes yeah. you're an asshole.
Everyone, here's the deal. Everyone can everyone can say whatever they want. You don't get guaranteed a fucking megaphone, and you do not get a guarantee about how people will treat you after you say it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the social contract we have, right? It's like, you could say, like in America, freedom of speech is a real thing. We basically let people say whatever the fuck they want.
If it's not going to cause direct damage to someone, like fire in a crowded theater, you can say it.
You know, but like you don't get a guarantee that you'll have a megaphone on you when you say it. And you don't get any promises about how people will treat you or react to you when you've said it. And I think that we have created these environments where we actually have removed a lot of the normal ideas about how people interact, because some fucking kids, some young people, and they were, look, the creators of Twitter and Facebook
were children.
Were kids with Tinder, were young when they made those things.
Yeah.
And they did, and I'm not saying age matters, but like, you do learn things as you get older. You know, I'm smarter now than I was when I was 25.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a fucking idiot when I was 25. But
I'm 28 and I'm a fucking idiot.
That doesn't mean that young people don't do great things. I mean, that's like, the children are our future. I mean, no fucking question. But the
Whitney knew.
But the Whitney really did know. But the reality is that like, the idea that I would base some of my most important moments in life and my most important social interactions on a concept built in 2004 or whatever by Mark Zuckerberg at college, because that's what we're working off of.
Yeah, like society is functioning off of like one guy's idea.
It's insane.
Twitter's, and the more he says dorm room, I kind of think the worse that it is.
Twitter's not the best idea on how to interact with people. Facebook's not the best idea on how to interact with people. It does not take into account a lot of really important things about what humanity is and does. And so the whole thing to me is like, increasingly, it's like, it's less about like Mark Zuckerberg did this or did that. And obviously we're going to cover some of that stuff. But to me, increasingly, it's about like, what are we all doing here again? Like, what is going on? Like, why do we want this? What are we getting out of it? You know? And I think that a lot of people feel that way right now. And I think a lot of people, at least a lot of people I know have put a real effort into saying, you know what? I don't want to look anymore.
Yeah,
I'm not going to look anymore. And I find myself increasingly looking less, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I see that mirrored in a lot of different things, but I see it in our, like, the way people come to our website. You know, increasingly it is a diverse set of places that are sending traffic. It's not like Twitter and Facebook. Or in the early days, I mean, we only launched like less than a year and a half ago. But yeah, you know, at first we were like, oh wow, a lot of social traffic. But as we have grown and as we have like worked really hard, what we've seen is like, there's a lot of other sources that are sending people in through the front door. And I think that like, there's a real fatigue around this stuff. Yeah. I'm fatigued. I'm dying right now just thinking about it.
Well, let's move on. We kind of buried the lead here, because the biggest news in the world is that the Koreas are meeting and putting aside some of their differences.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I'll say here is like, we've been hearing about North Korea.
Their century of war.
I mean, we've been hearing about North Korea, though, particularly in the past, you know, two decades, it has really become a talking point, certainly in the last 10 years, has become a very, you know, ever since North Korea was like, hey, we're going to develop nukes and we're going to like threaten to shoot a nuke at Guam because we're just completely off our rocker. You know, it's North Korea is this thing where, you know, and Trump is this, you know, he's a big bully who wants to talk up, you know, swing his whatever he has.
Chode.
Yeah. Swing his dick around, but I doubt it does much swinging based on what I think of him and what I know of him. You know, but like, whatever. He wanted to seem very like tough on Korea. And he's like, we're going to meet with Korea. And now, like, somehow, and I'm not giving him any credit at all.
Oh, you mean you don't think he should be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize?
I mean, I will say this. The Koreas are talking. There clearly has been a change in behavior from North Korea. It is definitely possible, not on purpose, but Trump seems so fucking unstable and deranged and somewhat stupid about international or foreign policy that, like, it's possible that North Korea was like, listen, like, we're crazy, but this guy is like batshit crazy.
We're playing at crazy. Yeah. This guy's
batshit crazy. And also he has like the U.S. Army.
Yeah, he's like a crazy bag of hammers.
Yeah, so they might have been like, I mean, first of all, I don't think Trump deserves any prizes for anything.
No.
He deserves a pair of handcuffs. But
don't you think North Korea saw him and was like, we could do a lot more evil together.
I think North Korea saw what was going on and they're like, this is way too unstable for, like, we could get away with it because a lot of, you at least had the assurance that no U.S. president, even some of the really bad ones, would, like, just drop a nuke on North Korea anytime soon. Because, like, there's so many ramifications. There's the South Korean ramification. There's the China issue, you know, which is huge, their allies. But, you know, with Trump, it's kind of like, oh, maybe he'll just go straight up to war with North Korea over nothing because he sucks. And they probably felt that.
Yeah.
So, no, he doesn't deserve a fucking peace prize. But I won't – I Trump's a pile of garbage and I hate his fucking guts.
I'm glad this is happening, but I will
not
credit him.
I cannot rule out, not like as like he had a strategy, because I know all these fucking Trumpers are like 4D chess, bro. It's not 4D chess, but I think Trump is an erratic, irrational, probably has dementia, a person who can't be trusted and you don't know what he's going to do next. And this is true with every interaction. Like today he's like, yeah, Stormy Daniels, I paid for that. Or whatever, after Giuliani is like, yeah, he paid Stormy Daniels.
His doctor was like, yeah, he dictated his medical letter. Yeah, he dictated his medical records to me.
His doctor's like, yeah, he takes Propecia to keep his hair, which is, you know, fine. You know, Donald, don't be embarrassed. It's fine.
So do I.
You know what? You want to keep your fucking hair. It's totally valid.
Me too.
I don't want to lose my hair.
No.
No one does.
No.
You know, just fucking own it.
Yeah.
Own it. Anyhow, he can't own it because he's an asshole. I think that we can't rule out that his erratic behavior had some impact on this thing. And it's good. I want the Koreas to come together. I want the people of North Korea to not live under a fucking oppressive dictatorship. And I hope that someday Kim Jong-un and the rest of the people around him who've committed some pretty heinous acts are brought to some kind of justice.
Maybe the Dakotas and the Carolinas can follow their lead and settle their differences.
Yeah. Never.
Winton's pissed.
Winton is mad about the Dakotas and the Carolinas. I didn't even know there was still a drama, but...
I mean, they're not talking.
I don't pay attention.
Next.
Yeah.
Did you see Avengers Infinity War?
I haven't seen it, but...
I did.
I hear Thanos is really hot in it. That's what everybody's saying.
He is definitely a dad... But I'll say this.
Is he?
Can we all agree he's like Space Hitler and we shouldn't be fetishizing him?
Is he a snack though?
He's like a full meal.
Oh, really?
He's like.
Okay.
He's like when you go to Disney and they do that 16 course dining at Victoria and Albert's. That's what Thanos
is. Is he like pansexual? Like, do we know where he.
I don't even know if he is a sexual being outside of like my personal fanfic.
Does Thanos have a penis?
Oh, yeah. He's got a big purple. He's got a big purple.
Canonically. Is in love with death, and in Marvel
like, I'm sorry,
universe,
death like the idea.
No, death is like a literal person.
That's cool. They're like, you know, what'd be cool is if death was like a comic book character.
Yeah, she's a lady.
Oh, she's a lady, Lady Death,
like in the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
Never heard of it. At any rate, so I haven't seen it. I'm avoiding. I mean, you know, I like typically watch Marvel movies when they are available as video on demand offering. Because I don't really care. Though I have said this before, I'm rooting for the Avengers now because I hate the DC movies so much that I want to see them totally destroyed in every way, shape, and form.
You leave Wonder Woman out of this.
No,
wait,
Wonder Woman's bad,
Black
too.
Did you watch Black Panther yet?
I have not seen it yet. Ugh. It's out May 8th. Here's what happened. I was like, shit, I got to see it. And then I saw the pre-order date. And I was like, well, that's only a couple of weeks. It was just like a few weeks ago. I was like, well, that's only a couple of weeks. I'm like, I'm just going to wait now.
Good.
I know. Listen, it's been a very... I don't know if you read the Wall Street Journal article. There's been a lot of shit going on lately, okay?
Yeah, we're going to talk. I need money.
I have 20 bucks waiting for you right now. But anyhow, so I haven't seen it. I heard that, like,
I don't want to spoil it for anyone listening.
Spoilers potentially, but here's what I've perceived from not reading anything, but just, like, accidentally seeing tweets. This is my takeaway, okay?
Skippers, skip.
I don't even know. I don't even have details.
Yeah.
Here's what I understand, I believe, happens. You tell me if this is correct or not.
Okay.
The stakes have never been higher in an all-out galactic war between Thanos, who's a bad guy who wants the stones, the Infinity Stones, to put into his Infinity Gauntlet, which will give him, I guess, world-destroying power, because that's always what it is.
Do you want me to tell you or not?
Something like that.
Each of them has like a kind of power that could be cataclysmic, and with them all together, you're basically like God. Like you're the editor of the universe.
Like, you can, like, move a mountain?
Just anything. You could just think it, and that's what it is.
Like, anything at all?
Anything at all. Like it's infinite power.
Like, but you could like make something out of nothing, like a new type of being.
Sure.
Really?
You could do anything.
It's a cool idea.
But with that power, what do you think he does?
Well, I'm guessing he wants to wipe out humanity.
Okay.
I mean, that's my guess.
Okay, spoilers. Do you want spoilers?
We sure, talk I mean, about this? Whatever.
Okay,
I mean,
skip if you're going to skip. He wants to use it to basically do a Da Vinci Code scenario where he can kill like half of the population so that the other half can enjoy all the resources and we won't, like, the environment will be saved. And
but of Earth?
No, the whole universe. He wants to kill half of everything.
It's like reverse Tomorrowland.
But the issue with this, the issue with this.
But just to be clear. At its core, like, it's a little twist on everybody, like, Apocalypse, whoever.
Yes.
Who is the guy from the X-Men movie? Who's the Egyptian
Cable
guy?
Cable and back? Apocalypse.
No. From the X-Men movie.
Apocalypse.
Is it Apocalypse? Yeah. And he's like, I have to cleanse this world. Yeah. That's what he talks, because that's how they all talk. I must cleanse.
Sorry, Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, no, Oscar Isaac is doing this
Speaking
voice.
Of fuckable supervillains.
I must cleanse this world. It's like, okay, we get it. All the people, they're following false gods.
Scrubbing bubbles.
Yeah, whatever. It's like Thanos is like, I must cleanse this world. It's like, we get it. You want to cleanse the world.
With your Brillo.
To make it great for some other people.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, the Avengers, it's like the stakes are... There's nowhere to go. He should be like, I don't want to do anything. That's what it should be. The villain should be like, you know what? I'm not going to do anything. I just want the stones and I'm out. And just let people, and just let them get nervous. Just so they don't know what he wants.
He could have just made more resources. Like, instead of killing everybody, he could have just made corn.
Okay, hold on a second. So let me get to the thing that I was actually, because I don't care about what Thanos wants. Because here's what I know about Thanos. He's not going to get it. He's not going to kill half the universe at the end of the Avengers movie.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert, he did.
Okay, sure he did. Because here's what I hear picking up from the tweets out there.
He did.
It seems like something really crazy happens, but then there's some post-credit scene that somehow absolves the craziness.
No. The post-credit scene is that they send a message to Captain Marvel, who's basically the Superman of the Marvel Universe. And
played by Brie Larson.
Yeah.
Who I love.
A real talent.
Yes.
Scott Pilgrim's own Brie Larson.
So good.
And so the idea is that, like,
She's going to come
save in part two, and then next year we'll get part two, and it's essentially one long story.
So it's like The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, or it's like in comic books when they do those events, those two-part events.
Does Cap die?
Cap does not die.
Does Vision die?
Yes.
Vision real dies. Like, real dead.
Nah.
No, Vision, Gamora, and a couple other people are, like, real dead.
They kill Gamora?
Yeah, sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
The only movie I actually care about is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well,
so that's fucking bullshit.
Sorry.
We should just say you got to put a spoiler warning, warning here. You
know, the first black woman in those films, they painted her green. Isn't that a little uncomfortable?
They're like, we love having people of color.
We really want diversity.
Your color,
but we don't see color.
But you're going to be like Kermit color.
So you're going to be
no problem. We love your blackness, but honestly, what we're interested in is more of a green shade. Well, look, do they but Iron Man? I can't stand him. I hope he dies. I saw the most incredible tweet. Can I talk about it? Somebody was like, "It's so stupid." I saw a tweet. They were like, "I just realized." They're like, "I can't stop laughing because I just realized that if the Incredible Hulk were British, he'd be called the Absolute Unit." Which is, like, really fucking funny. It's really good. Actually,
let me
find. Hold on. Wait a second. The absolute. Oh, shit. Was the original tweet is by @supermathskid. This is apparently a woman named Katie. I just realized if the Incredible Hulk was English, he'd be called the Absolute Unit, and now I'm sad. Is the tweet.
I would love to be called the Absolute Unit.
I'm going
to
tweet it right now.
A sexually charged name.
Anyhow, listen, I'm sorry that Vision died, but let's be honest. He was just a robot in an alien body, so who cares? He was literally Tony Stark's computer.
Well, people's reaction to this has been very like, well, we all know they're coming back. And it's like, yes,
God,
but
I'm
that's the same thing in comic books. Sure, that's not why you watch the movie.
So I'm just remembering the plot. Does he get to bang out at least? Because I know he had a little romance going on.
Yeah, he does bang out.
Did they show his ass?
They show like morning after. No.
Oh, really? I want to see Vision's ass. I want to see Vision's cock. Is that too much to ask?
You seem very phallic. This is a very phallic episode.
I'm all about
cock.
Cheeks and dicks. Butt cheeks and dicks is what I'm all about.
That's why you're into Westworld.
It is truly why I'm into Westworld. Anyhow, I had a thought about Westworld, actually, which is going to be great for the next Out West, but I'm not going to share it now. Related to Lee Sizemore, actually, interestingly enough. Speaking of dicks and butts. I'm sad that they killed all these guys, but also who cares, because the movies have zero stakes. There are no stakes.
It's like superhero inflation, where every time it's a bigger cataclysm to the point where, like, where do you go?
I just hope Brie Larson's costume looks better on screen than it did in the photos, the behind-the-scenes photos I saw. Because it looked like a weird baggy... It looked like they had.
I tweeted at the time. It looks like you're trying out a new look for the first day of high school, and you're embarrassed, and it's not really working.
It looks like it was whatever the vacuum seal.
Yeah,
it's like supposed to be vacuum seal, but they didn't do it yet.
Yeah, no, like there's
it's
a
like
leak.
It's like pre vacuum seal or whatever. Anyhow, all right. So the Avengers happened. That's cool. Yeah. It's the highest grossing movie of all time, or something. Highest grossing weekend of all time.
Opening weekend.
And that's surprising. I mean, of course, you know, Black Panther, like, runaway success, well over $1 billion. You know, I don't think anybody really saw it coming.
Oh, I definitely think people saw it coming. It's just that a lot of other people are racist.
I just feel like there's a lot
most
of...
Most people saw it coming, like, except racist.
Seems like there was a lot of surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It was like with Bridesmaids, where it was like, yeah, this is a great movie and there's a huge market here. Why did it take so fucking long?
Yeah, and then they just made Bridesmaids in seven other, like, ways that all sucked after it. The one thing you can count on with Hollywood is they'll be like, that's so good, let's keep doing it over and over again. All right, what else? Should we talk about Tom Brokaw?
Tom Brokaw.
By the way, this episode, we're only doing news. There's no guests. Just me and Ryan bullshitting. Let's talk about Tom Brokaw.
Tough stuff from NBC.
I don't know what to say. It's like...
They're a bad company. I'm going to go out there and say that. If they want to hire me, great. But that's a bad company.
You know, look, the Me Too movement... When is Me Too too much? Just kidding.
Donald Trump Jr. tweeted hashtag Me Too.
Donald Trump. You know, I can't even talk about his kids. They're such fucking...
He retweeted something about
turds.
How Candace Owens is great. And he wrote, like, someone was like, I think Candace Owens is great. And he retweeted it and he wrote, like, hashtag me too.
So bad.
And the little emoji popped up. It's bad.
He's so bad. Anyhow, so Tom Brokaw was doing some nasty shit, apparently. It's very depressing. Yeah. Like, I'll be honest with you. You know,
it's tough.
Can you not do it with your coworkers? Tom Brokaw, listen, you were the voice of a generation. You were the guy on TV who was saying the words. And now your entire career is in the shitter.
Come on.
And all you had to do was just go home and jerk off. That's all you had to do. Just go home and get your penis
out. But I have never in my life had the urge.
Get your old Tom Brokaw penis out of your
pants. To just grab someone's ass without consent. Like, never in my life have I ever been like, I'm going to put sex on you.
I've said this before.
Never occurred to me.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. When I think about unsexy situations, the ones that are at the top of my list are situations where I am not wanted.
Yeah.
They're like there's no greater boner destroyer.
Ever.
Than someone, like, not being into you.
I even want to touch people when they're flirting with me and I think they're attractive, because it makes me uncomfortable, so I just kind of laugh and walk away.
You know what's nice is when somebody's like expresses interest in you clearly and you're like, oh, you like me and I like you. That's cool. I feel like there's
it's just something weird.
Obviously these people are fucking deranged, but, like, you know, this sort of does dovetail a little bit with this, you know, this incel conversation which is happening
and
now.
The R. Kelly thing.
We'll talk about R. Kelly, but, you know, and, well, R. Kelly is a whole other fucking, I mean...
But it's the entitlement to other people's bodies it's literally never crossed my mind. It's sort of like murder. Like, I've never thought, like, I want to actually kill someone. Like, that's never, I'm not holding myself back. It's like
the only person I really fantasize about killing is myself. You know, I gotta say. And,
yeah, that has crossed the old noggin
before. Should I just do it?
Yeah.
Should I just be done with it already?
Please just be over.
No, but that's, you know, listen, suicide is no joke.
And it's not a joke.
Please call the suicide hotline, which is featured in the... Metro song? Is that what he's called?
Logic.
Oh, shit. Who's Metro? That's not even a person.
No.
Sorry.
That's an insurance company.
Please call if you're contemplating or feeling bad.
No, but for real. Suicide is not a joke. And I've actually had suicidal tendencies. That's why I'm joking about it. But
please don't.
Don't. I didn't and you shouldn't.
Don't
do that.
Don't take your own life.
That's real bad. And
Logic,
it's not going to help.
Logic would not be happy and I wouldn't be happy.
No.
Okay, and nor would the listeners. But to that point, it's like, I'm just saying, like, yeah, it is odd. I mean, clearly there's, like, a sickness, and, like, it does definitely, it you see it surfacing in like this you know the concept of incels. Mm-hmm. This is a big thing because one, there have been two now murderous terrorist acts committed in the name of men. Incels, in case you don't know, are men who call themselves it's a Reddit subreddit, essentially.
Of course it is. I mean,
it's basically a subreddit or a 4chan, whatever. Ugh. And it's like men who consider themselves involuntarily celibate.
This is like some Jordan Peterson shit.
Because women have like because they're beta males and all of the alpha males have scooped up all the ladies. It's like
feminism ruined society because now women don't know that they should have sex with everyone, but also just me because they're whores.
And these fucking basement dwelling neckbeard motherfuckers I don't mean to lump them all in.
Fuck all of them.
I'm sure some of them don't have neck beards or whatever. But
most
like,
of them do.
But I'm sorry, but like here's the deal: you don't get to have sex with anybody.
No,
you don't. Nobody's gonna have sex.
You're
with
not
you.
Entitled to sex.
You're not automatically gonna have sex with anybody. That's life. Okay, we live in a golden age of masturbation. Can I just say first off, like a golden age of masturbation. Yeah. If you have urges, there are so many ways to deal with your urges. But like no one is. You are not guaranteed sex.
No,
no matter how fucking good looking you are or whatever. And the idea that you would be mad at the world because you're not having sex is such a fucking crazy.
How many people won't fuck me, and it doesn't make me a political activist?
I mean, the vast majority
like, fuck
of
off.
The vast majority of people I meet are disgusted by me. You know, and that's just life.
Disgusting.
That's life. You sicken
I'm
me.
I'm shocked someone wanted to have sex with me regularly at all.
Ryan, you are gross. You
I'm
know,
a real and that's trash just bag.
You really are like a garbage pile.
Yeah,
you're like a garbage bag with a head on top of it,
just slopping out. It's not even rude. Tied closed.
But so am I. I mean, it's not a good scene over
people
here.
People are made of meat.
I mean, literally, somebody in the office the other day was like, I was like, oh, I'd love to be a model. And then they were like, nobody wants what's going on over here. And motioned to my face, you know? And like,
yeah,
I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah.
I'm getting
a
weird,
pug-like,
big Jew.
I got a pug-like, a lot of neck happening over
and
here.
Yeah, the point is, guess what, guys? I'm sorry to report. Everybody feels the way you feel.
Yeah.
Frustrated they can't get laid. But the difference is I'm not like those fucking women and alpha males have taken this from me. I'm going to run a fucking van into people. It's like you are fucking deranged. You need mental help. You need to
seek help.
You need to get off the fucking internet and go get help. And their narrative that they've created, and we have a great piece today written by Alex Nichols, which is a kind of response. So the reason we're talking about this is because Ross Doubt That, or however you pronounce his fucking name, Do That.
Real asshole. That's how I say it.
Ross, don't do that. which is Laura's joke. I'm stealing. He wrote some piece about how like incels, we must consider the sad state that they're in, and maybe sex workers can help them. And soon, someday, we'll have sex robots, and then the incels will feel better. And it's like what they want is not sex.
No,
what they want
to own a person.
They want to. They want a fantasy that they get mad about not getting.
Yeah.
And that's fucking deranged.
They want a magical pixie dream girl who only has sex with them, and she's so much more attractive than them, and she's devoted to them and will also do whatever deranged sex stuff they've come up with in their basements.
Meeting people's hard. The internet hasn't made it any easier. It's created a lot of fucking weird ideas about how we interact with one another. The reality is, like, I was definitely, as a teen and a young man, was definitely, like, extremely uncool and nerdy. I had fucking terrible acne when I was a kid. I was so awkward. I was tall and skinny and hunched over and just the most awkward fucking loser in the world. And you know, guess what? I went to some raves, met some girls who didn't give a fuck. We hung out. I had like friends and girlfriends and like, you know, life happened. It's like.
And even if that didn't happen.
Yeah,
okay.
It's fine. You know.
Nobody owes you that.
I didn't go crazy because I couldn't get a date. Let's put it that way. But the point is.
And we all have hands.
We do all have hands.
And if you don't, you can get a facsimile.
But the point is, it's not somebody
printer.
Else's fucking problem that you can't get a date. And it is not the world working against you. It is just the way things are and have
Society's
always been.
Broken.
And yeah, it's like, and it's like, the, but so
well,
these
it
are
is,
just,
but not 'cause of that.
Just men who hate women. And they want to craft this narrative, this like woe is me narrative, and it's fucked up and sick. And like
nobody does this but straight men, I'm sorry to say. And there was an article published recently that straight men are the worst people in the world at sex.
Straight men are very bad. Straight men are very bad. And I speak as mostly
gay
straight.
Men are bad too, but not that bad.
Mostly straight men, I'm telling you that they're bad. But
for when it comes to vision.
Except for vision. That is he's got an ass that won't quit. and a set of balls
to
match.
That Paul Bettany. really
well,
does
Paul
it.
Bettany is a very attractive man and also is married to Jennifer Connelly, who's a beautiful woman. And undoubtedly, they have beautiful kids, but I don't know. I don't know.
They probably have fantasy sex. We don't.
I bet they fuck like superstars.
Yeah.
Like the superstars that they are.
Yes.
At any rate, I don't want to objectify either one of those beautiful people. But the point is, so Alex Nichols wrote this thing today, which is you should go read, which is kind of like, let's stop listening to the kind of bullshit narrative that these guys have created for themselves, because it's not actually reality. Like, these are just bad. They're just bad actors. And we need to, like, you know, we need to, like, get real. We need to not be like, oh, well, these poor guys. We need to actually be like, let's protect women in society from these people and try to get them the help they so desperately need. But beyond that, like, let's stop listening to and responding to their insane fucking narrative that is basically bullshit. This is an upbeat episode.
Yeah. Well, the next is not.
Let's end this thing on a high note.
We've got Airbnb, which is partnering with landlords to convert apartment buildings into essentially hotels.
You know, when you think about it, your bedroom is just a hotel room.
You don't own anything.
Your life could be easily displaced if a tenant comes in for a night or two. If somebody needs a hotel room, why not just convert your space into someone else's
space?
Cities
were built for Chinese billionaires to park their cash and for millionaires to come visit for 2 days. That's why we build cities, not for anyone to live.
I actually think Airbnb is a very cool idea.
Ugh,
I do.
Hotels are a great idea. You don't have to reinvent hotels.
Let me finish,
okay.
Ryan.
Okay.
Jesus. But I think Airbnb is cool if you go rent a house in Palm Springs.
Yeah, house rental service.
I think in New York, we have sick fucking hotels that are great. And by the way, hotels are the best.
They're great.
Hotels are the best.
Hotels are
good. They clean the sheets. They bring you fucking
food.
Breakfast.
They've got little bars of alcohol, jars of alcohol.
Bottles of alcohol. You bring one of those little like Tabasco sauces that's just like real tiny.
Oof,
so good. Yeah. No, the little Tabasco sauce.
No, I know, but I'm saying they could bring you whatever.
Maybe. I don't know. They won't bring you everything, but they'll bring you a lot of things. The point is, hotels are great. Most cities have lots of them. We don't want to turn apartment buildings into hotels for lots of different reasons. There are all sorts of factors there. But I think, like, I just think that what I like about Airbnb is that it does, like, give you an opportunity to say, like, hey, you know what? I've got a house or an apartment. I'm, like, not going to be there or whatever. I'd like to rent it. That's a very cool idea. It gives you an opportunity as a traveler to be in a place. Like, I went and stayed in a house in Echo Park a couple of years ago, and I spent, like, I was there for a week doing meetings and stuff in LA, and it was the first time that I had been in LA where I wasn't in a hotel. And having been there a lot in a hotel, it's like a really nice experience to be like, oh, this is what it would be like to live here,
mm-hmm.
and not have to, like, not be like, I'm waking up every morning to, like, you know, housekeeping knocking on the door or whatever. And that was cool, and I think it's cool, but, like, the reality is that it has to be organic. And Airbnb has done all these really inorganic things to create a market. And I think that they have, like, a real destructive quality. They drive rents up in certain areas. They displace people. They are it can be dangerous. You've got, like, essentially transient people sort of coming in and out of apartment buildings where families live. You know, there's all these factors. And I think that the thing with something like this is that it's like Uber. It's like Uber is a good idea. It's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
Its execution is bullying and bad.
Real bad.
And, like, unfair to a lot of people. And
there's a reason that taxis are regulated, and we do need to change how taxis work for some parts, but, like, their handicap is accessible. That's really important.
Yeah, but, I mean, admittedly, like, taxis really reek most of the time, I feel like, and Airbnbs reek a little bit less. Or not Airbnbs, Ubers reek a little bit less.
Yeah, but there's an unlicensed...
Well, as a person who gets car sick in the back of a car, the compounding situation of, like, bad, smells bad, and also I'm getting jostled around.
Nobody's saying taxis are perfect. They're
taxis
saying
are
I don't
not.
Think the solution is Uber, where nobody's an employee.
Well, it's not the total solution. It's not the total. It's not the absolute
no,
unit.
The app is a
good
idea,
but there are good ideas. Anyhow, I don't want to spend too much time on Airbnb. I just want to say, like, I like Airbnb, but I think Airbnb could be better.
Yeah,
so a lot of BBs there.
Apple wants to buy Condé.
Why not? Why wouldn't they? Apple supposedly starting a subscription service.
They bought
for magazines.
What's that one that's always advertised on podcasts?
They
bought that one.
I have no idea.
It's like, I guess we're not giving them an ad unless they pay us. But there's a subscription service for magazines that you can buy.
Oh, it's called Next or?
No, it's not. It's something.
Flicks or?
No, they'll pay us if they want us to.
They're called like, Zoomer.
Yeah. They got the Zoomies.
Zoomies. I know you're talking about, I can't think of the name of it. It's called like
Wheelies.
Scrap.
Skechers Wheelies.
Scruff.
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 Scruff is a dating app, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
anyhow, so we didn't even talk about the Facebook dating thing.
Oh God!
Sorry, much
yeah.
more interested.
Facebook dating.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what I have to say about this except like it's funny. I was listening to Howard Stern talk about it, and he was like, "That's what Facebook is for." He's like, "This is for like the dummies on Facebook who don't know what Facebook was actually started for."
Yeah.
He's like, "It's for dating," and I was like, "This is such great and perfect insight. It is actually true about Facebook. It really is like a dating app at its core."
Yeah.
It's funny how they're like.
Even just to date your friends, just make events, see
I mean,
what they're
Tinder,
up to.
Right? It's like proto-Tinder, you know? Yeah. Like the face mash or whatever was
I'm
basically.
Not dating anybody who uses Facebook all the time, though. Yeah, like, that's a really bad
If you
demo.
Like Facebook enough that you would use it to date, then you're already automatically out of the pool. Yeah.
You might be an incel.
Like, I get, like, exactly. I get that you would, like, use your Facebook login for Tinder or whatever because you have to.
Yeah.
But, like, I would definitely be wary if you're like, why aren't you just using another dating app that's, like, for real dating and not, like, Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems
it's a little suspicious.
It's like, you're like, oh, I'm so excited once I get to use Facebook for dating.
It's like a writer that sends you a word perfect file.
It's also interesting because Zuckerberg's like, it's not going to match you to your friends. It's like, but what if you're friends with somebody that, like, might actually be a great partner for
you? You know
how
many people I've dated that were friends?
Yeah. Like, what if you're friends with somebody and, like, it turns out, like, you guys have such a connection, but you've never realized that it might be good?
There's definitely a Justin Timberlake movie about that.
Yeah. No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right. What else? What's in the news? You want to do one more story?
Well, the last thing I wanted to end on is a good note / bad note. Is there's a piece up about helping bail black moms out of jail for Mother's Day?
Yeah.
As a sort of activism you can do.
Yeah. Well, explain how this functions. Gabby wrote this piece for us. Do you want to tell the listener about it?
In New York, a local advocacy group called Voices of Community Activists and Leaders, so like Vocal, is spearheading a fundraiser for Mother's Day where they want to bail out incarcerated black women from Rikers Island. Their goal is to hit like $30,000 and get – they're calling it National Mama's Bailout Day. The goal is to get mothers out for being arrested for crimes of poverty. So like – something like – in the piece it says something like 80 to 90% of incarcerated women are – also caretakers, like their moms.
Yeah.
And when they're in jail, it doesn't just affect them. It affects their kids. And it can be a situation where kids who are poor, whose mothers were arrested for crimes about being poor, are now have nobody caring for them, no caretaker. Like there's – and that can really fuck up someone's life.
It's such a – I mean, this has been well covered, but it's such a cyclical and damaging system that we have. I mean, and this is talked about a lot. Like,
I mean, and it's just $5,000 that can break that cycle. Like, it's just $5,000 that they don't have access to that you might.
Yeah, and
this
was just something that became a very, you know, became much more talked about after, you know, Ferguson, and this was a thing within Ferguson where it was like there are a lot of people there who are getting thrown into jail over bullshit. You know, like late parking tickets or, you know, fucking jaywalking fines or whatever because these
like
things.
Like an ounce of weed.
Because the things compound, particularly with caretakers, you know, mothers who don't have jobs aren't, you know, it's like, you know, it's such a crazy thing that our system is built so in such a fragile and terrible way that we even have to. There should be outlets for this. You know, you should – because think about the system for, you know, here you've got a caretaker thrown in jail over bullshit charges, able to get out, but it's a monetary issue, right? There's just like a – basically you're just paying ransom essentially.
Well, it's like at a bank. It costs more to do have a checking account if you're poor than if you're rich. And if you don't have the money, then you can't get a bank account. You can't put your paycheck in it. It's just a cycle.
Right. And then you've got kids who are left hanging – you know, that have this whole other cycle start for them due to the fact that they don't have a caretaker or their primary caretaker around. It's a very sad and annoying and depressing state of affairs. And, you know, with a person like Trump running this country, it's only going to get worse. And so I feel like these kinds of grassroots organizations are going to be massively important over the next few years. I mean, we already have seen a lot of this, you know, and there's obviously an adjacency. This actually is a Black Lives Matter affiliated movement But I think we're going to see a lot of this. I mean, certainly in the era of Trump and in the era of like white supremacy ruling our country.
And if you listen to this every week and you get mad and you get like worked up about stuff that you're like, that's fucked up. And you agree, but and you have the resources to help. It's that extra step that really like I've worked at a nonprofit. A tiny amount of money, if you can donate it, can like literally change someone's the course of their entire life.
Yeah. So check it out. What is their website? We're going to put the link in the post when this goes up. And you guys can go check it out. It's called, the hashtag is Free Black Mamas, and it's called Mamas Bailout NYC.
Yeah, and if you want to learn more, you can go to vocal-ny.org, and that will take you to where you can donate, and you can learn about the issue in a way that isn't just the two of us chatting about it.
That's right. It's on the
with official information.
Correct. It's on the front page.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's like a somewhat hopeful but also sort of depressing note because it's ultimately trying to correct some.
Listen,
you know,
that's 2018.
Fundamental. I know, right? Really? Well, listen, next week, we're going to talk about is the new iPhone. Just kidding. I'm so glad. I know everybody. I know there are a lot of people who listen to me and are like, I wish you would talk about technology more. But like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm reading like Apple beats earnings and it's like, who fucking cares about Apple?
There was a time when technology was exciting because it was changing the world and we were figuring that out. And I still think it's interesting, but it's not 2007.
But yeah, now the technology conversations really are like, is Facebook like drain? Is it like perverting our minds? Is it breaking our brains? And what are we going to do about it? You know, like that. Those are the technology conversations.
Yeah.
So anyhow, all right, we should wrap up. Ryan, any parting words for the people out there?
Just because someone wants to fuck you, it's not a political position. Have a great day.
But if you're fucking and you're doing political positions, I think that can be a lot of fun. And so really think about when you get into that situation.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Well, look, we should wrap. It's very hot in here. I'm getting very, very sweaty.
Yeah.
It's just gross. Like it's just like real sex.
Real body heat.
Real body heat in this room.
It's like visions here.
That is our show for this week. We'll be back next week with more tomorrow. And as always, I wish you and your family the very best. But unfortunately, Thanos got your family. Let's hope the Avengers next film can save them.